You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Jack, tell me a story.
And one time,
the kind of story we need right now.
Hey guys, good day. I hope you're having a really lovely Sunday. I am, you know, finally getting to enjoy the city again. I'm back in New York and getting to enjoy all of the people and things. And I just want to remind you, because I'm reminding myself, that you gotta slow down sometimes. I think, you know, I'm so excited, and so is everybody else, to like reopen things and be conscientious, because we've all worked so hard to, you know, take care of ourselves in this time. But at the same time, like, I'm getting a little burnt out. I don't know about you. So yeah, I'm so happy. Thanks for listening to Tell Me on a Sunday. And I want to talk a little bit about our guest, but before we get into it, I want to tell you that my friend Brendan has his latest season of Wait in the Wings. It's on YouTube. Season 3 is out. I got to watch like a special screening of it. Basically what happens is he gets to be a dramaturg, a documentary maker on all of your favorite musicals. And he started season 3 out with Hadestown, and it is one of the best things I've ever seen. If you love movie musicals, or if you just love musicals and you love documentaries that are kind of like funny but also like give you great insight into your favorite shows, you need to subscribe to Wait in the Wings. I want you to do that. Brendan is amazing. I'm so proud of him, and we had a great little convo about the upcoming season, but he was so cryptic, and I was like, well, you know what, I'm just gonna have to subscribe. I'm just gonna have to do that. So I did. Anyways, please check it out if you're into that. And let me know what you think. Let him know what you think. Let him know that you watch it. So today's guest is such a special lady. She's a comedian. She's a writer. She's a singer, musician. Her name is Sarah Dooley. If you don't already know her, you're going to know her after listening to this, I hope. Her book, Are You My Uber, is available anywhere that you get books. Highly recommend calling your local bookshop and having them special order it for you. If they don't already have it, you can listen to her music through any channel that you listen to music through. However you're listening to this podcast is probably how you can listen to her music. The album Stupid Things is already out, but most importantly and most notably, her newest album is This Heartbreak, is what we're going to talk about today. Instead of doing like a traditional show where I ask people to tell their stories about kind of their lives and careers and, you know, all that fun, dumb stuff, today we're asking Sarah some questions about the album that she put out, because I think it's really special. And there are some times when I know that there are stories behind music, and I'm so curious about them. I have a lot of singer-songwriter friends, and I love learning about what made a thing and why someone wrote something that they wrote. So without further ado, let's talk to Sarah Dooley.
Oh man. Sarah, it was just your birthday. Happy birthday.
Thank you. So I actually celebrated it ahead of time. It's tomorrow. But last weekend was like, I know, which is like a superstitious thing to do, or that's like an unlucky thing to do, is celebrate your birthday before it's happened. But look, everyone was available.
Everyone was vaccinated. Everyone was here. And we just said.
Yep. So we did this last weekend. Real fun. But tomorrow is the day.
Tomorrow's the big day. Yeah. Well, then I'm glad we're doing this before.
Yeah, being like, getting a real like birthday. Yeah, this is the birthday Eve version of me. This is very special.
Is there like a lot of anticipation? Are you excited about like waking up to Santa? I don't even know. What do we do at this point in our lives of birthday?
I have no idea. I think that what I did was I Googled, where can I get free stuff on my birthday? So I'm going to sort of go on an adventure to like Buffalo Crispy Wild Cream. Wings, Krispy Kreme, Chipotle, Starbucks. I'm going to eat a bunch of shit And that's how I'm going to celebrate.
Or share it. Just get everybody's stuff and then be like, oh, I'm going to split. That way you get it all.
That's so smart.
Sephora, mm-hmm. you can cash in those points. You can get like the 500 point for all of our listeners that go to Sephora. A little life hack for you. Wait until the eve of your birthday and be like, I'm going to cash in and get some free samples. I'm just saying.
You're the smartest person I've ever met.
No, but literally, you know, at the front of the line when you're there and you're like, I'm about to spend my rent on my face.
Yeah.
And then they're like, what if you could buy 4 tiny things for $0, except for the fact that you've given us thousands of your dollars. And then you're like, oh, that's a great deal. I'll take that eye cream for 400 of my dollars.
And it's like that small. It works for one eye.
Yeah, you use your pinky nail on it for months. Oh,
I make it last.
Yeah.
It's a good system. We have it down.
If you are ever a poor in New York City, let me tell you, we've got some hacks. I have to say, because I've introduced you already, you don't have to like name all of your accolades. That's the fun part of this show, is that I've already talked about you and you don't get to hear it. I discovered you because of your book, Are You My Uber? Mm-hmm. And I was like, this is the funniest, silliest thing I've ever seen. And then I started stalking you and I was like, oh, I really like her. And so I'm just so happy to have found you in the comedy lady sphere, especially. I feel like there's so much, I'm going to say, I don't like how there's like so much like negative competition with a lot of girls, especially in New York, LA or whatever, you know what I'm saying? And every time I like gravitate towards a person, I'm like, oh, they seem like good people. Mm-hmm. I don't know what it is. I just like can like, feel it in the air. But I learned about you as a comedian. And then you were like, I put out an album. And you had already put out albums before, but you'd put out this album and I was just like, okay, cool. I'm going to listen to it as anybody should, just like put it on Spotify. Right. Mm-hmm. And track by track, I was like, am I crying? I truly thought I was in for like a comedy music stylings album. And not to say you aren't funny, because there's so much tongue in cheek in the album, which I think is really fantastic. You're like an incredible songstress. And I was like, this is like, if I had had this in high school, this would have replaced all my Regina Spektor shit. Like this is literally like, oh my God, it's so good and funny and sweet and warm. And there was a time when I was hashtag alone last year. In an apartment in Brooklyn, staying at my friend's. And I must have listened to that album so much that when they did like the Spotify Wrapped thing that everybody did, it was like number one serotonin.
Stop, really? You know?
Yeah. Cause every day I would be like, well, this can get me through something. Like I had a set like list of shit, right?
Yeah.
It was like Roberta's Pizza, your album, and then like My Future by Billie Eilish. Like that was
I'm honored. Oh my God.
No, but it was just so wonderful. And so I just wanted to talk to you. Normally on this show, like I try to talk to people about like, you know, what's the story kind of your life. But this time I wanted to say, like, I want to know the stories behind these songs that I've fallen in love with and like you and all that great stuff. So if you don't mind, can you, you're like,
hey, my pleasure. Let's get into it.
Can you tell me a story of even when like all of this started for you, like when you started to do singing, performing, clowning, bringing cupcakes to school, like what was it where you were like, this is, I guess, how I am built?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the story is really that, I have always journaled. I've been a big journal head because I'm sexy. And I've just, but as a young person, just felt like I had so many emotions that were like spilling out of me. And how I navigated that was by journaling obsessively. And then I remember watching the music video to Fiona Apple's song Parting Gift, which is just her at a piano sort of emoting. Mm-hmm. And I remember being mesmerized by just how like angry she was or sad and just expressive. And I was like, wait, it felt like she was getting something out. And that's what I was like always trying to look for a way to do that. And so, plus I'd been taking piano lessons, but mostly like playing Carole King songs that I really liked. And I was like, but what if I tried putting my journal onto the piano?
Wait, hold on. I've got it. Ooh, my thoughts.
Yeah.
Which some people can't do that.
I mean, it worked out that I, it was like finding these two things that I loved and marrying them in a way that made sense for me, which was really, it was so important for me. And I also look back on those songs and just crack up because I am so intense. Like in high school, do you remember just having like a crush that you treated like it was like the heaviness?
There was nothing else in the entire world.
Yes, yes.
There was nothing else.
Emotionally of these songs about just like a guy on a cross country team that I was like singing about it like I was a 45-year-old like widow just like who had seen shit. And like, it's so funny to me. So they were so intense. And like, I was pretty secretive about them until this one boy who he was kind of a manic pixie dream boy. He was like, he had a Jeep and he was always driving me around places. And
I'm just picturing manic pixie and then the Jeep really clashed, really clashed. But I was like, I know what frozen yogurt this boy liked for sure. You know what I mean?
Manic pixie Jeep boy actually is what I'm calling him from now on.
Yeah.
And he was the type of person who was like, I have a favorite road in our little hometown. And I was like, well, I want a favorite road. He's like, we'll find you one. And one night, this is actually one of my favorite stories ever. One night he was driving me home and I had a strict curfew at midnight and we were like barely going to make it. We're driving home. We're listening to Radiohead, of course. And he like pulls over onto this country road and I was like, what? This is not the way home. He's like, shut up. He was nice.
He was doing it in the romantic way.
Yeah, in the way that
Nancy Myers would write.
Thank you. It worked at the time. He was reading the room. And he pulls over and it's like a foggy night. And he's like, get out of the car. And like the headlights are like spotlighting the fog. And we meet in front of the car. And like Radiohead Fake Plastic Trees is blaring. And we just kiss. We kiss. In the headlights, and that was my favorite road. So what I did was I went home and I wrote a song about that and about the road. And I was like, my plan is I'm gonna perform it for him at the local open mic, which was held at a cafe called Express Yourself.
Express Yourself. Was it called the open mic, or was there a name for the open mic? Because ours was Coffee House.
Oh yeah. I mean, everything, don't you think that everything in the like, that time in the 2000s was all like Java themed. Like there was a lot of like,
yes,
coffee was adult, I guess.
Be like a little bee caffeinated.
I mean, that was the coolest thing I could ever think of probably.
Yeah.
But I think it was just called the open mic and everyone just knew like, oh, the open mic at Express Yourself is really good. And so I was like, I'm going to play the song. And like, that's how I'll communicate to this person, like how much he means to me. And like, and so we go to this open mic, he's sitting at the table. I play the song and like really getting into it. And when I look up, he is like bent over a napkin, writing out lyrics. Cause he was going to perform next, like totally not paying attention, not listening at all to my song. He gets on next and plays Bright Eyes. And I was like, this sucks. So what I do is I go home and I write a song about that.
Oh my
like a
god.
Reaction
yes.
to a just in my own little
the
dialogue.
Meta.
So that's kind of what how I've been treating songwriting in my life.
You're like, what if I gave you a gift and then you shat on that gift and then I wrote you a song that's better than that shit that you did on that gift? That's exactly what you do. But that's what we do as artists all the time. We're just like, but I gave you something.
Yes. Yes. Exactly. It's like this hall of mirrors is like creativity and reflection and it's very
Do you remember the song, either song title?
One was called 110 North, which I think was the name of this the street. my favorite road. Yeah. And then the other one was called like, you just don't understand. I don't remember. It was
such a dumb boy.
Exactly.
B-O-I.
Featuring Rihanna. Yeah.
Rihanna. Mm-hmm. Oh my God. Well, that's really great. The way we're doing this particular episode today is that what we're going to do is we're going to play into your ears right now a song from this new album. And then Sarah and I are going to chat about a story about said track, because these are questions mainly for me. Okay. Because but I don't really care, because you guys are all on this journey with us. So I'm going to go refer to that right now.
Did you go home after my party? Is it 'cause I kissed you in the dark? I'm sorry. Why did you go home? Don't you like my party dress? Don't you want my body anymore?
Start with is a song called My Party. It's the way we've just played it. It's just very specific. Mm-hmm. I feel like this party happened. I don't know. Can you tell me a story about either this party in your mind or this party that really happened?
Uh-huh. I love that. Yeah. So the story is I didn't have a party. This song is about several relationships that I found myself in that like weren't technically relationships, but they felt mm-hmm. so real to me. And I was just plagued by this fear of like, am I allowed to feel so deeply about this person? Mm-hmm. And we're not technically like on paper. If I listed out all the details of what this relationship was, like a judge would be like, doesn't meet the requirements. You know what I mean?
Doesn't check out.
Doesn't hold up in court.
You didn't have your social security number.
The most romantic thing I could think of. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And so I studied playwriting in college, and I always love songs that kind of set a scene and give you just like an eyedropper of like, you know, action. You have to like sort of do it in your head. And so that this song to me represented like that kind of confusing in between relationship where like, if I invited this person to a party, like, do they stay? Do they go home? What is, where are we? Like, what do we do? And, I don't know. I wanted to like explore that like disconnect between these like big sweeping feelings. I feel like the actual music and arrangement is like that sort of epic romantic tone. And then all the lyrics are like, was I weird on the phone? Like, did I mess up when I kissed you? Ugh.
I think it's funny because all of us, like, especially with anxiety, and I'm not trying to like read you. I'm not saying that you have that.
Yeah.
But totally, we just like, we go, sorry, like the way you like touched me on my shoulder, like it kind of like stayed in my brain. And I'm just like, I'm just like wondering.
Yeah. Let's do a follow up, circling back on that touch.
I just want to like pick your brain on like what, what that meant for you. And they're like, I fucking grazed you. And you're like, yeah, but it felt like more. And it so whenever we have these like social interactions, especially when, I mean, the way you framed it is in this like party scenario, I just think about how there's two types of people. There's people enjoying the party. There's people watching the party. And like, I'm always somebody who's watching the party. Mm-hmm. And I love that this was all told from this perspective of like, when you're watching, it's in your own home. And you're
yes,
like,
right. You threw the party for the express reason of this part. Like, you could care less about the other guests. You're like, shut up. Yeah, go eat chips. I threw this party so that this person would come. And then they leave early. And that like, that encapsulates like how fraught this relationship is yeah.
Have you seen that one episode of How I Met Your Mother where it's okay, I just have to explain that like mm-hmm. Ted does this one bit where he throws three parties for a girl to show up to, and she like doesn't come to like two of them, and then they're like, oh, actually the party's like tomorrow night, and then he has his friends like do another party. And then she goes, oh my god, I'll have to come, and then she does it, and then the next night she's like, I'm so sorry I missed your party. He's like, no, it's crazy, like we actually, it's tomorrow night.
That's amazing.
And I'm like, because I think that half of the people that watch that episode are like, that's pathetic, and then everybody else is like, no, I understand.
Yeah, that's just good improv. That is just being flexible.
You just gotta work on your feet and hope they show up.
Exactly.
I don't know. Yeah. I just kept picturing you at this, like, I don't know, Brooklyn apartment or something, mm-hmm. singing that to someone. Yeah. Okay, so this is probably my favorite song on the album. So sorry to go right into it. But what we're about to play for you guys is Only Child.
Do you ever get lonely? You say you are an only child. I guess that's a no then. But I wish you could teach me how you say you can only be lonely. If you know what not being lonely feels like, I know what it feels like. And now I know. Thank you. I'm not gonna go to you. I'll call someone with brothers and maybe a sister too, 'cause I deserve someone who cares what the hell I'm up to. That is you, that is you, 'cause now I know. Never fall for the only child, never fall for the only child. He doesn't care if you live or die, so don't fall for the only child. Never fall for the only child, never fall for the only child. He doesn't care if you live or die, so don't fall for the only child. Never fall for the only child. Don't fall for the only child. Never fall for the only child.
Okay, so that song makes me cry on command because I had this talk with my girlfriends like so recently about like dating people based on like how many siblings or lack of siblings they had.
Yeah.
And it was such a fascinating conversation because we had never, nobody's ever kind of like brought it up. I think
they
go like, oh, are you this moon sign? Are you this sun sign? But nobody's ever like, how many siblings?
Your birth order. Right. Right.
So can you tell me a story of like writing only child and or what that might be about? I don't know.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Oh, I love this story. I was dating this guy, and not to brag, he was a Vine star. And yes, I am dating myself now. The tail end. And he was just simply not ready for a relationship, but like was the kind of person who maybe should not be dating then, because we were doing all this romantic stuff, but like, again, it was one of those confusing in between things. And he was just the most independent person, like to a fault, where he just could not let anyone in, did not need anyone, did not want to be needed by anyone. And we had a conversation once about how he was an only child. And he literally said the phrase to me, I don't know what being lonely feels like, because that's just how he's always been. There was never anyone around to like,
it's like the opposite of codependency. He's literally just constantly fighting for himself. So it's like, I don't understand the need for another.
Never had to share his toys or his feelings. And I feel like that conversation like got stuck in my head, and the like phrasing of, you can only be lonely if you know what being lonely feels like. And I usually start with the music. I don't start with the lyric or anything, but that was one of the only times where I was like, I have to put that in something to figure it out, almost to like explicate it. And so I wrote a whole song about not dating an only child. And then what's so insane is looking back on all my most serious relationships, they've all been only children.
Oh.
And so what is that about me?
You're like, I will be writing my therapist a few questions.
Taking notes. really strange stuff.
Well, how many siblings do you have?
I only have one. And it's an interesting situation because she is 9 years younger than I am. I was an only child.
Yeah, I was an only child for like 7.
Yeah.
And so I have this like caretaking part of me for other people because of my younger sibling who will be listening to this.
But
like, I have to, you know what I mean? And so it's funny, like you probably also, I'm not trying to psychoanalyze you. I'm not a professional.
Do it. Come on.
But like we do that thing where we like, I mean like, yeah, my last serious relationship and my last, I guess, have been only children too, because it's like maybe it's a parenting part of us to where we want so badly to be needed.
Yeah.
And then these people don't need us.
Yeah.
That was funny.
Isn't that weird? We're doing it wrong.
Funny. How is that?
cracking
How
up.
Did we? Cries. All right, so we're gonna get into the next one. Oh, this is horrible. Now this is this heartbreak. The titular title character of the album is this heartbreak. Mm-hmm.
Could you?
All ruminate in it. I'm doing it. This one, I there's a part of the song which now they've just heard that I particularly crank up, and I'm like, take me back, I'm doing the harmonies with you, like screaming. Yes,
that bridge.
Because, yeah, that bridge like gets me. Tell me a story about you writing this song. Tell me all about was it heartbreak?
Yeah, spoiler alert.
Spoiler.
big time. Yeah, I mean, that song, it's so interesting that I never sit down to write an album. I never am like, okay, the next 10 songs are all going to go together and be on one thing. I just write songs as things happen to me and then kind of look back and see what I have and put it all together. Mm-hmm. And so that song, I didn't realize that would become like truly the thesis of my album. It is the song that I think encapsulates the like – scariest part about what we do when we fall in love, which is we take the risk every single time of giving our heart to someone, not knowing how the story ends. It's like, truly, it's like opening a book and wanting so badly to flip to the end to see, like, does it turn out? But you can't do that. You can't do that. And we're working on that. But I wrote that song when I was just at the beginning of something with a person and realized, like, crap, this is the point of no return. Like, once I fall for this person, it's either going to be the great love of my life or devastating heartbreak. And I think what I like about that song is you can listen to it depending on where you're at. That song can be like very almost depressing, like a bittersweet kind of feeling, or it can be so weirdly hopeful that, like, yeah, as humans, we just keep doing this.
Well, yeah, I think that that's what's so great about the way it's written is that, like, it has all of these, yeah, I didn't find it, like, depressing, even though I was in the middle of, like, the end, like, debris of a moment. Mm-hmm. I was also, like, really happily into, like, a new chapter of my life. So I found it, like, really beautiful and hopeful and exciting, and also, like, it's such an anthem. I don't know if that's been a word that has been described for you for that song, but I'm like, this is like everyone's shouting this from the rooftops, especially women, of like something we need to all agree that this is a risk. I hadn't thought about it like that. That's so interesting. Yeah. Maybe I'm just fucking optimistic every time.
Me too.
That I don't even think about the fact that it might not work. That's not an option. I'm like, it's supposed to work though.
Right. I know. Of course. Yeah. That's how it's supposed to go.
It's a dishwasher. It's supposed to work.
Let's go. Yeah. You just blindly kind of. No, I love that. I think that's what makes humans so beautiful and idiotic all at once, is that we're just like, guess I'll try this again.
whoa. Here we are. Chapter one, idiot. Yep.
But we're beautiful idiots. I love us.
I love us. The end. Close
Bye.
The show.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh. All right. Lastly, we're going to talk, now that we've talked all about Is This Heartbreak, which also, like, the cover. Can you tell me a story about that? Because it's like you and all these, like, gorgeous balloons and stuff. And I'm always fascinated by the art direction behind, especially covers of albums, covers of books, like, all that shit, especially because, like, you know, we operate in, like, comedian spheres of, like, What were you thinking when you did that? Because that's on you. Tell me.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. And especially because I think we're writers and storytellers. So yeah, every part of this album is, there's like a whole character behind it and a whole like backstory. And so for each of my singles that I released before the album, I made a short film that went with it that kind of was the backstory of each song. And so that photo comes from the My Party kind of set. So we filled my entire Brooklyn apartment with balloons and solo cups and like glitter and all this stuff. And just the image of someone being so sad amidst all of this like celebratory accoutrement, because like that is a heartbreak, like throwing a party and then being sad is like such a funny like arc to me of exactly the two paths that we could always take that. And I liked it. I thought visually it was really cool.
But it was. That is. People can look at it. But I love that even when you stream the album, though, the little clips of those like videos that you shot play, which I was just like, oh, that's so cool. Because there's like this one of you carrying this box with all the stuff falling out of it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, the breakup box. I was like, oh, God. And then this final one that I want to talk about that we're going to play now is, we call it the Goonies song, because this one cracks me up every time. This is not from this album. This is from, which one is it?
Stupid Things.
Say that Stupid Things, which is from 2014.
Yeah.
You've been putting out stuff for a minute.
Been a while.
It's been a while. So now we're going to play that.
If it snows and school is canceled, do not fret. You can come over to my house. Watch Goonies at my house. 'Cause I know you get lonely
You sit there. That I have been waiting my whole life for someone like you, watching Goonies at my house. Come over to my house, we'll watch movies at my house. Come over to my house. Come over to my house, we'll watch Goonies. For the remainder of the film, it's cold inside my house. It's been a long, hard climb for me too. I think I like you. You like me. It's a good movie. I like you when you like me. A fantastic movie. Come over, please. I like you, please. Over, please, to my house, please. I like you, please. I like you, please. Oh, 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 oh. Come over, please. I like you, please. Over, please, to my house, please. I like you, please. Oh, 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 oh.
You're like, I know the song. So tell me the whole story behind this guy, because it cracks me up. And I know it's not from the album we said we were going to talk about, but I was like, ah, I want to play this anyways. Tell me about the Goonies song.
Yeah, I mean, the album Stupid Things is much more about like the weird in between of childhood and adulthood, and there are a lot of like kind of childlike songs on that album. And the story of this song is just a freaking snow day. Like, do you remember how amazing snow days were? Oh, wait, yeah. You're from the South.
No. That should tell you how incredibly special snow days were in the South, because it would be like once every 2 years, we would be like, what are we gonna do? Who's coming over? Who's watching Goonies at my house? Truly, would be like, hey, are we going to Polly Jean Turrentine's house? Because I heard that her parents have a jacuzzi, and like maybe we can all like sit together, and we would sit together, and then we would be like, who's gonna bring the blankets? Like that was a conversation.
Oh my
who's
God.
Bringing the blankets? As if it were fucking cold. I mean, it's like 40 degrees. And we're like,
oh,
I mean, I'm just
cozy.
I want to wear my like my UGA sweatshirt.
Yes.
Like,
yes.
So anyways, feel you, because it was like sucking the teat of Christmas. It was just, it was its own thing. So tell me about the snow days.
It's going to take me a second to sort of process what you just said. The sucking the teat of Christmas.
Sorry.
That filled me with just a heartwarming feeling. Thank you.
Good.
Yeah, the spirit of a snow day is like the most magical. I wish I could bottle that up. But exactly, when you're young, a snow day represents like, this is a break from real life. Like anything could happen, which for me meant logging on to Instagram. I mean, not Instagram. I didn't
AIM.
Have AIM, instant messenger, and being like, God, I hope my crush signs in. When you hear that like door creaking open, that to this day is like, I get shivers. And And then, but then it's so funny because it's like, then what's your plan? It's like, obviously I'm going to invite Trey Smith over to watch a VHS tape and hopefully we'll sort of like scooch next to each other and maybe our arms will touch for a split second. And that's what sex is, I'm pretty sure.
It's still, hey, can I just say this? It still is.
It still is. At the end of the day, that's what sex is for me. Yeah. Boys, listening. Hello.
Listening. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, it's just, yeah, I loved capturing that kind of like excitement of the possibilities of this like tiny little romance.
But that, I think that joy carries into our like now relationships because mm-hmm. those are the things that we cherish. It's not like the, did he take you to the opera this month? Did you have a table at Nobu? It's right. really not that. It's like these tiny little like mm-hmm. moments of yeah. like, romance and silly and excitement and like even this is so messed up but like any natural disaster like this is awful but like literally it was like raining the other day uh-huh. like torrential downpour and I got like worried but then I was like wouldn't it be fun if we all just stayed in that's awful
I love that no that's Mother Nature being like do something crazy
order three pizzas try something new
like you're worth it
You're
right. Yeah, it takes a natural
time to indulge
for us to treat ourselves. That's so funny. Yes. Yeah.
Disgusting. Mm. No, but that song brings me so much joy. And like I was so glad that after I had like binged and I'm still binging, Is This Heartbreak, I was like, oh, these are so sweet. Like mm-hmm. Stupid Things is really sweet. And like mm-hmm. I don't know. I'm not pressuring you to work on a new thing. I just mean that like I'm just saying that now we can all look forward to it now that yeah. we're like so engrossed in your work, which I'm Aww. Excited about. But yes, but I wanted to take you to this part of the show that we call short story, which I hear like an improv person. So you're going to be like good at this. Which
oh,
is
no, cool. I'm not. Oh, no.
Oh, I'm. You know, it's funny. I did UCB. Did you do all of UCB? Did you not do it? You
I
just
do it.
Stand up lady, like whatever. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I did UCB because I thought I had to as part of like New York.
Like paying your dues kind of like. Yeah.
Yeah. And I did all of it. And I don't think I was good or I liked it. No, it's like, well, you know, when you're like, I think I'm good at this. Like, okay, I know it wasn't that. And so like, it's just, it makes me laugh because I go, I have it like on my stuff that I did that. But I don't mm-hmm. think I don't think you could pay me to do a group scene anymore.
Totally.
Like,
I feel the same way. And I did improv in college, which I had so much fun at the rehearsals. Yeah. As soon as we were performing in the shows, I was like, no, all the best parts of this have gone out the window. I don't feel comfortable. I don't feel safe. I can't play. And that's probably my shit, but it's just not, I don't think it's for me.
It's because what I found that I liked about it was that I was around people that liked dumb shit. Which is, totally. I didn't go to like college properly. So I was like, oh, this is what college must have felt like.
Mm-hmm.
I don't just really like silly. The thing. Yeah, it's like, I don't really love the thing we're doing, but I kind of mm-hmm. like the people a whole lot. So yeah. It kind of became that. But this is kind of derivative of something we did there. But basically, it's called Short Story. And okay. I give you a one-word suggestion. And then you tell me a two-minute story that can, I could say Alligator Loki. And then you could be like, I'm going to tell a story. I've never seen a Marvel movie. You know what I'm yeah. saying? Like, you could tell me a story about something else. Okay. But it's just to set you off. And then you give me a word after you go. So is that cool for you?
Yeah, I love it.
Okay. Oh God. Okay. Okay. So, Sarah.
Yeah.
It's about to be your 2-minute story. I'm going to give you one word suggestion of disco ball and your time starts now.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yes. Oh, okay. Yes. So here it is that my family went on spring break to a resort in Mexico one time, 1 year. All my friends would always go and it was like the cool thing to do. And I was like, please guys, please let me go. And they're like, sure, we'll go this year for spring break. And so I was with my friends and one night they were like, yeah, we're going to the teen discotheque. And I was like, come again? I was going to read Matilda happily in my bed, but okay, I'll go with you guys. And they were like, yeah, Sarah, it's really fun. We like go grind with boys. And I was like, yeah, that sounds totally up my alley. And I love that. So cool. And I put on what I thought was like my sexiest outfit, which was just like fully like a mock turtleneck. It actually would look cute now, but at the time I was like, Amish. Like I was so covered up and just, but I had this like long jean skirt. It was kind of Orthodox vibes. And
we, limited to Old Navy.
Yeah. Clearance. Oh yeah. It was like Aero Pastel, I'm pretty sure. And we get to the discotheque, which I think had a disco ball, but it was also called a discotheque. So whatever, the story stands. And we're in there and I'm just like the shy girl who's bopping around. There's no alcohol or anything. It's like a teen club, which is so weird. And this guy comes up behind me, starts dancing with me. And my friends are like, and I'm like, mm-hmm, I love this, but it's terrifying to me. And this man, he's not even a man. He was a child. This is gross. He was grinding on me so hard with such force, circular motion, that he basically turned my jean skirt all the way around so that my skirt is on backwards now from the force of his crotch grinding on me. And I look down, I'm like, ah! Like, I had to just like come up with the dance move that was me like moving it back to the front.
That's 2 minutes.
And that's it.
It's when you don't have a belt on it.
Yeah. It's not anchored in any way.
Because it's a skirt, especially a denim skirt. Mm-hmm. Let me, was it to the knee?
It was probably past.
You know the one that was dusted the floor?
Oh my God.
That one? I had a khaki one. It's worse. Yeah. But the one I'm picturing you in is like that, like mid knee, mid calf. Mm-hmm. Like,
Oh yeah. I thought it was so sensual.
Yeah.
I looked like, cowboy librarian. I don't know what I was going for. And it was a humiliating, because my friends were like, what? No,
please this stop. Is bad.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Well, that makes sense. And I really love that story. Thank you for sharing it. Is it true? Is that a true story?
It's 100%.
Sometimes, one time somebody was like, oh, no, that whole story was fake. And I'm like, you're a genius. Hey, you know what? You should call somebody. You're a writer.
You should call somebody.
It's like, you're so good.
Penguin Books. You're a writer.
You're a writer. Do you know that anybody can publish on Amazon? Did you know that? TikTok told me that. Yeah. KDP. Oh my God. Do you know how many TikToks I've watched? Anyways.
Me too. We could spend hours talking about TikTok.
Do you post them or do you watch them?
I do it all.
You're funny. I don't feel accepted yet to post TikToks. I posted two last year that were very dance sexy, but with a political purpose.
Amazing.
And then for the views. And now I'm like, if I return, like there's people waiting for my return or something. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, no, nobody's sitting there being like, she's not posted an 83.
Right. Where is she? Yeah.
Yeah.
I did go bad viral on TikTok because I wasn't accepted. And I was like trying to make fun of this kind of trend. But you know how in New York, the like brand of comedy, especially among people our age, is like ridiculous. Like it's not genuine really. Like I like being absurd in my comedy. And so I posted a video that was about me pooping in my underwear, which I assumed that they would not believe was true. But all of the tweens on TikTok were like, SMH, we can't believe you shared that. Like, you're actually being way too vulnerable. This is disgusting. I can't believe you did that. But it got like 500,000 views. And I was like, I'll take it.
You're like, yeah, okay. If poop is what's getting me on the young girl's radar.
Yeah, I'll take it.
Call me Olivia Rodrigo,
baby. Poopy in my underwear, Rodrigo.
Fetch the bolt cutters, sour, Sarah Dooley's shit TikTok.
That's what it is. Holy Trinity.
Shit talk. Oh my God. What a dream.
I love it. Oh my God.
All right. We've reached that point.
Okay.
I cannot possibly top your denim skirt story. It's actually impossible. Physically, emotionally, Elon Musk couldn't pay for me to top it. But here we are going to try.
And yet we persevere.
And yet we persevere. Women first.
I think there's a really good word. Does everyone just look around and
yes, that's what everyone does. And then they end up saying something like pineapple. And I'm like,
oh. Where did you get that? Oh, weird. You're in your kitchen. Okay. Yeah. No, I have one. I have one.
Okay. You ready?
Your word is swan.
Oh, actually, okay, let's go. When this will date me. In high school, we do this thing. Oh my God, we're just telling a bunch of school stories and I'm kind of for it.
Yeah.
So we had this thing called like senior party. And at senior party at school, you would get out for like periods like five after lunch until like the end of the day. And then you would come back to school like for this senior party. And everybody at the senior party would dress up in a costume. And there was like a whole, it had nothing to do with Halloween. It was like when we were graduating and they were like, whoever comes to school with like the best costume for senior party, like you win. And like, there were like these, like, also my bonus dad is a DJ like for dances. Amazing. And like weddings and also like a radio disc jockey for like ever. And so he was always asked to be the senior party DJ. Well, my dad is the DJ. And so I was just like, this is kind of like, I feel kind of lame, whatever. Cause it's just like weird. It's weird to see your dad at work.
Right.
That's just what it is.
That's true.
That's what it is. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I'm going to have like the coolest outfit. And that year was the year that Black Swan came out.
Yes.
And I was like, what if I hired an incredible, like, makeup artist, and yes. she was a friend of mine, like locally, but like I got like a full black tutu. My back had like the little talon marks of like where she's starting to bleed. And like, it was kind of grotesque. And then my arms were whatever. But I feel like the good part of the story is like, you can picture me in all of that stuff, right? My mom and I are on our way to the dance because she's like, she's got to drive me, right? Because I'm in a tutu. And she was like, to my high school senior party where my bonus dad is already there setting up his DJ equipment. And my mom stops the car. She goes, Grace, get out of the car. And I was like, what? Okay. I've gone over 2 minutes. I don't care. It's my show. Yeah. she goes, Grace, get out of the car. And I was like, what? And she was like, there's a bunch of ice, as if I'm supposed to correlate what she's saying. And she goes, there's a bunch of ice over there. And I was like, okay. Uh-huh. And she goes, get out of the car. We're going to go take pictures of you in it. And there was like, someone had dumped a crap ton of like ready ice for parties or whatever. Right. Just like, I'm talking piles and piles of ready ice. And she's like, go get in it. It's going to be amazing. As if she is like,
I love that.
Taking control of this fashion moment.
Photo shoot, yeah.
Photo shoot. Because my mom does this a lot. Like, she'll see a statue, she's like, photo shoot. And I'm like, all right.
I love that.
It's super fun. It teaches me to say yes to everything. But literally, I got out and there's photos of me. And she's like, do this. Like, you're flocking like a bird. Like, you're like jumping. And I'm doing like these ballet moves as if it's like the most intense move. Yeah, I'm going to have to share them now because it's just but one of my best friends, Tanner, was also with me. And she was like, what if I was the white swan? And I was like, okay, yeah, like, let's do that too. And so it's just us in the ice. And of course, I was named like most dedicated or most original costume. All of my high school accolades were always like a little bit of like a, you care too much. Like, they were never like, she's super cool. It would always be like, she like gives too many fucks and we don't know what to do with it.
She's
like
trying really hard.
I hated that like Glee was a part of my high school story because everyone was like, oh, you're like the Lea Michele. And I'm like, don't say that. Please don't say that.
Right. But they were like, that's a compliment because she's very talented. But you were like, I know what you mean. Yeah.
Oh my God. So I just
that's
had to
amazing.
Tell you,
I really have to see those.
I'm sorry. You said swan and I don't think that I've ever shared that.
That's really good. That's so good.
Oh. Thank you. Yeah, I'm gonna have to. It's intense. It's really intense. But you know what? Holds up. People remember Black Swan.
Thank
I remember
you.
Thinking, I saw it. Did you see it when
I
it happened?
It recently. No. I don't know where I was.
It in
what
theaters.
Else? Recently.
With my
mom. I rented
mom.
It. Oh. Oh, you actually did?
Yeah. Like an idiot.
That must have been fun.
I thought I was an absolute star comedian. I feel like I heard this on SNL and I repeated it, but I thought it was my joke. And I was like, she made a meal out of her kunis. And then my mom was like, you've got to stop. But I will
pre-Twitter. That was like, you're a fucking genius. Come on.
I'm like, I'm a star.
Hello.
Jesus. You watched it recently?
Yeah, like within the last few years. I was like, what's this about? I do that a lot. I feel like I like giving things way too much time past their prime and then being like, yeah. Have you guys seen Black Swan? Yeah. Like 2020, but okay.
Yeah. I have a fear of that now because we live in such like a digital, like everything's being spoiled all the time.
Oh, I know.
So I feel like addicted to watching things as they come out because I'm like, what are they going to do?
Yeah. What's a good life hack for that is to have a really bad memory.
Oh.
I'm reading spoilers every day and then they go, and I'll watch something like for fresh, just like from an infant's point of view. I'm like, truly, I was like, what is Black Swan? I don't know anything about it.
That's great, though.
Yeah, it's nice.
Then you come so fresh. But I feel like that would be such a good, like, comedy show of yours or something. If you're like, hey, you guys heard of this? You literally
topical
are like,
jokes from 2006.
Game of Thrones?
Yeah.
Okay, there's a wedding. You will not believe what happens.
You know
that
what's
would
so
be
funny?
So good.
I did do a series on Instagram where I had never seen Game of Thrones, but I watched the whole last season with no context. And then I did little recaps. And it really was that. It was like John Snowden is one of my favorite characters. He's a whitewasher, and like I just didn't know anything about. And I watched the whole season. So
did you like it?
No.
I
didn't know what the fuck was going on.
I just know at the end, the little boy with a strange neck got the throne.
That's as much as I know too. Yeah. Is he the one in the wheelchair? No.
Yeah.
It was? Oh, cool.
Yeah. He just chose to not emote so much.
Yeah.
It's all up there. Cool. Well, I'm glad you watched it because I sure won't. And on that note, Sarah, this is really nice to have you on this whole thing. And now I hope that everyone listens to the rest of that album. It's so beautiful. It's gotten me through so much. And I can't wait to hear you do more of it and or more of your new stuff. I don't really care. It's all great. Even if you stop, you could stop right now, change careers. And I'd be like, this was really great.
I'm an accountant now, but I gave you that.
You know that on TikTok, if you're an accountant, you know what that means.
No.
Oh, that like you sell your photos, like your nudes. When you say, oh, I'm an accountant, that's like a TikTok hack of saying like you do other things.
That's the euphemism for, oh my God, I'm so glad you told me that.
If you want to be an accountant or an accountant, you cannot, you can do either.
Either way, I'm counting my money. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And I do. Thank you for listening to Tell Me on a Sunday podcast. This has been a That's Gouda Media production. I want to give a special shout out to my Patreon subscribers. That's Triple Threats and Beyond. Daniel, Joe, Abigail, Matt, Caitlin, Carson and Marissa, Joe F., Priscilla, Rick and Margaret, Molly and Norman, Mackie, Violet, and Michael. Merch is going to be released through my Etsy shop. If you don't already follow that, that's at Grace Aki Made It on Instagram. But also you can find it on Etsy, Grace Aki Made It. Lots of podcast related merch, I guess. And by lots, I mean probably one or two to start. And all of my other artwork is available on there too. I mean, as artists, we do a million things. We're multi-hyphenates. You can still listen to me weekly on Broadway Radio. That's usually Tuesdays through Thursdays. You can get your Broadway news every single day, presented by me, Matt, Ashley, sometimes James Marino. It's really good. Highly recommend that you listen to it. Thank you guys again for joining me on this journey of storytelling. I hope to see you next week. Otherwise, stay safe. Love you.
Hey, it's Leslie Odom Jr. here on the Broadway Podcast Network to tell you about the RISE Theater Directory, a program of Maestro Music. RISE is a national online resource designed to connect and empower backstage and administrative and creative theater professionals from underrepresented backgrounds. If you work or aspire to work in the theater community, this can help you find your next project. And if you hire theater professionals, search the RISE Theater Directory to find your next team. Create your profile now and get more information by visiting risetheater.org. That's theater with an RISETHEATRE.org, because only together we rise.